Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriao's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Soriao.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine, live episode 713. We have a full house. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how do I smell?
What? Oh, so, the derailer.
No, this is
the
interesting.
The derailer
so
is here.
So you know that I fly a little bit.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Something happened to me on this flight. I took the red eye back from L.A., just got here, was there for 24 hours. Something happened to me on this flight that has never happened before. So I'm flying out to go to a doctor's appointment with my mom. 24 hours.
Nice sun.
So I'm taking red eye back to get back for the show. I'm exhausted. I fly a lot, so American gives me an upgrade. So I'm in the first row, first class. And I'm waiting for the guy to sit next to me so I can lean back and sleep. So the guy finally shows up. It's a young kid. And I start to just get comfortable, and he starts talking to me, which I really didn't want to have happen. And he goes, yeah, the flight was a little bit late. I got hammered.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
So this young guy is talking about getting hammered. I fall asleep.
This is not going well.
We start taxiing out. He tells the flight attendant, I really need to use the bathroom. She says, no, we're taxiing. She goes, I really need to. So he goes, comes back. I fall asleep again, and I hear the pilot say, we have a disrupted passenger. We have to go back to the gate. And I'm asleep. I have no idea what's going on.
This is great. So we get back
to the gate. Mm-hmm. They turn the lights on, and I kind of pop my eyes open, and the kid is sitting next to me on the floor in a pile of vomit, of which some of it got on me. So that's why I say, how do I smell?
I knew that's where this was going.
And he's in first class, young
kid.
How do you sleep through this?
I have no idea. So we get there, and they say, excuse me, sir, can you get up so we can get this guy off the plane? I said, yeah, I need to go to the bathroom too, kind of clean up. So they have to actually take the seat apart after he gets off and disinfect. And so it took us an hour for them to clean the seat next to me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
My seat wasn't that bad. I just got like some spillage, not a full force.
That's disgusting.
But my phone got a little bit more than I did. So they gave me one of those wipes with the antiseptic.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that was, whenever I just got you from the elevator.
I have another sports medicine story.
That's commitment.
Okay.
I already told you this. So last week, I was doing a lecture in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And you guys all remember the movie and the book, the Will Smith movie, Concussion.
Yeah, of course.
And we talked about this. And you remember they kept mentioning the neurosurgeon from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dr. Joseph Maroon. And his name got mentioned half a dozen times. And I said, that was really weak of the movie makers to throw a very well-respected doc, because he's done a lot of great things, under the bus, and Will Smith must have mentioned his name half a dozen times. Mm-hmm. So I'm the keynote speaker at this conference for the University of Pittsburgh or Allegheny residents. The co-speaker keynote before me was Dr. Joseph Maroon.
Wow.
And I'd met him maybe 30 years ago.
This is at UPMC?
It was Allegheny, but he's UPMC. There was crossover. I told you, you probably saw, I posted the picture on social media, me and Dr. Joseph Maroon. Wow. And I did not bring up, obviously, the negative press from the movie. He's done some of his research. I mean, he's a very, very famous, well-known spine surgeon who's done really good.
He didn't look good in the book.
He did not look good in the book.
Yeah.
But he's still in medicine very highly thought of for his other contributions.
So this allows us, this is a wonderful segue, Scott. It's as if we planned this, but we didn't. This allows us to go into the Andrew Luck retirement saga. And there is so much to talk about, but much of it is sports medicine based. And this is the only show in the country that can tackle this discussion with credibility, because every single one of us sitting in this room served as a team physician at a pretty high level. Every single one of us. And when Andrew Luck came out and when the announcement came out and the fans in the stadium booed him, I was literally sick to my stomach.
Oh, gosh. Well, look, you talk about perspective. We're coming from the team doc perspective. We've got a former football player who, Dr. Mayer, if it's okay with you, at some point we'll probably talk about some of those same feelings you had whenever you were playing college football, similar kind of like, man, what's going on? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, we're coming from the athlete to the team doc perspective. I mean, we're going to hit it from all angles.
Well, and it's interesting. If I'm not mistaken, one of the sports media people leaked it during the game.
Right, that he was supposed to.
He was supposed to announce it afterwards, and it was leaked.
Yeah.
And the other interesting aspect to it, and this was the ESPN guy that leaked it, but the other interesting aspect is one of the Fox Sports guys wrote a very negative tweet about it, and another Fox Sports guy, Troy Aikman, took him to task.
Wow. Took who to task?
The person who did original.
Yeah, who did kind of like...
I mean, obviously...
Part of a reporter's job is to kind of create controversy. Sure. So he said something that was negative that was probably meant to create discussion.
Right.
But Troy Aikman took him to task over it. And apparently, and I don't know this, you don't really ever call out someone who works for the same company that you do in this business.
Gotcha.
And I don't, you know, we're here. But apparently Troy Aikman is enough of a stature
at Fox Sports that he can call
out another Fox Sports.
Yeah, he's more tied
to his quarterback football fraternity than he is his Fox fraternity. I mean, that's the reality. But go ahead, Doc, give us some more insight before we get going. Every football player
that I have seen interviewed, granted, most of them are already retired, have come out for Andrew Luck. In fact, the majority of football players that are currently playing have also come out for Andrew
Absolutely.
Luck. I mean, think about all the time that he has spent on the injured list.
Jeez.
How many surgeries did he have? Shoulder surgery?
So
let's break this down.
He had a shoulder injury. I can't remember what year. As a result of that injury, he had to sit out an entire year post-surgery. Last year, came back.
Had it redone,
was still,
though.
Right. But, I mean, it was an off-and-on deal with his shoulder. Came back. Played really injured last year, but still won comeback player of the year. And then going into this season, has this chronic, you know,
calf,
quote unquote, calf slash ankle slash leg issue that he can't get over. And he keeps talking about this, you know, injury pain rehab cycle,
right,
injury pain rehab cycle that he can't get over.
Didn't he also, a few years ago, also have a spleen injury? I mean, I had a visceral injury as well.
Did.
I mean,
yeah.
Not just
he did.
Orthopedic.
He did. And I thought they, and I did, I don't think they removed his spleen, but I think that was a discussion on the table. I mean, so he's been through a lot of stuff.
So here's what I think. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Go ahead.
Here's what I think. I think this calf is probably a radiculopathy, a pinched nerve of some sort. And whether they want to say it or not, that's probably what it is, because I can't think of anything else that takes 6 months.
That's true.
In addition to that, my guess is the surgical option was put on the table, and that's when he said, I don't want to do this anymore. Because if I try to piece this together in my mind based on 31 years of taking care of pro athletes,
that's right,
I'm trying to figure out what could possibly lead an athlete to make this drastic decision based on a quote-unquote sore calf. And the only thing I can think of that makes any sense to me is that the sore calf is a radiculopathy, and he knows and they know, but they're not leaking it because, I mean, if it comes out again that he's got a bad back,
you wouldn't be surprised.
He's done. He's done.
Yeah. But
you know what else is funny? They talked about his ankle, right?
Yes. Well, he says ankle. He refers to it as ankle as well.
As ankle. So the Indianapolis Star, what you just say, came out with an article with two orthopedic surgeons debating the question we're debating right now. What in the world
is going on?
And none of them treat him, but they were speculating.
Right.
So it's two surgeons going back and forth. Their hypothesis was he's dealing with some type of high ankle sprain, a syndesmosis injury.
Dude, that's what they said.
It's what the article came out. Well, I'm just telling you what the article said.
I vote for Soriel's.
And so the two docs said it was probably not bad enough for surgery, but wasn't getting good enough that he could run around and play.
Look at the Alabama quarterback last year. He had a high ankle sprain, had this little
minor injury. Hold on. The reason they're saying that is because Luck, if you watch the full thing, Luck says, because they asked him, you know, what's going on? He's like, look, leg, high ankle, calf. He started naming things that have been told to mentioned.
Yeah. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. If you just look on face value, his injuries, right? What's been reported, a shoulder, a labrum, you're not going to retire. No. I have a hard time believing
he came back.
Now, so let's get to the root.
Yeah, so then you talk about calf, ankle. It seems somewhat minor, unless there's cartilage injuries. So that was the other thing that maybe not be disclosed. Does he have a cartilage injury in the ankle? Because that's a whole different ball game with the surgery and everything. Can he not run around? Is he starting to get ankle arthritis? That you don't know about, because I could see that being, that could be a bigger deal.
You can play with everything you've just mentioned.
You could play with, but the surgery for that may have been on the table, that he's saying, I'm not doing this again because this will be the third or fourth time to do this, and I'm mentally exhausted. So now put the time perspective in. So the injury and what we're talking about is now in the third game of the preseason. So let me flip my player hat on. My third, week or after 2 days, when I'm thinking of the year we won the national championship, you're thinking our team is loaded. I should be all in, gung-ho. I was burned out because by September, first week of September, you'd already gone and literally football every day, two-a-days, every single day for almost 40 days in a row. Now at that age, I'm 22. Andrew looks, 29 or whatever. You were literally burned out. I remember running down the field playing Ohio State at Ohio State, the first night game. They installed lights for this game, and I'm mentally burned out. And I'm ready to do my job, but mentally it's like I'm physically there, but mentally I'm not. So does it surprise me that it was the third preseason game in a very long-winded time that this occurred? I wasn't surprised in the least, because I think from a mental perspective, this is the most exhausting time for these athletes.
Yeah, and this was I feel like this was the breaking point. I feel like there was an accumulative effect. He talks about this being in this place of injury, pain, rehab cycle, and he says he basically negotiated with himself that if he ever got in this space again, he talks about it, that he was not going to go through with it. And so there's this accumulative, cycle that he keeps talking about, that he re-entered that cycle, and this was just enough. No matter how bad this injury was, he got back into that cycle. And he's like, I don't have the mental capacity. I don't have the energy to go through this again.
Well, let me ask you a question. So I want to talk, obviously, probably you already have it on the list.
Do we
talk
need to come
about,
back with it?
About Gronk's lecture this week. But segue back a generation ago, before athletes really talked about burnt out and feelings and cumulative injuries, people always speculated, why did Barry Sanders go out so early? You think something similar that just wasn't the era where you could really talk about mental burnout or that same thing, injury rehab,
what about Jordan?
Look at Jordan. It was always such there's a mystery.
Look, there's a mental part of being able to recover. And energy, it takes so much energy to do that. And along with the pressures of having to perform and all this stuff. I mean, at some point, things are going to break down, particularly if your body is breaking down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So between all of that stuff Luck was going through, I mean, there became a breaking point. So I don't think it was necessarily, whatever this injury was, I don't know how big or bad or untreatable it was, but I feel like it would just ended up being the straw. We're just seeing the result of the last straw that happened. You know what I'm saying? But it has to do with sports medicine, because all of the injuries this guy's had over time.
So at some point, dollars and cents play into this.
Oh, gosh, yes.
At some point, dollars and cents play into this. If someone says, I'm going to put my career on the line for $10,000, I'm going to say no. I'm going to put my career on the line for $10 million. I might do that. But what if you're getting the $10 million anyway? Because he gets his $25 million anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so people said that, he probably... left $100 million on the table because he'd get
but
another.
But he also took home $95
million. Right, so, exactly. So he's in a position to be able to make this decision.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the difference between $100 million and $200 million in the bank is probably not going to change your lifestyle.
Right. It hadn't changed mine.
If you got $100 million in the bank, I think you're going to be okay. But he's in a position to be able to make that decision.
But the one thing that we're not talking about, we have to go on a quick little break here. He has every right to make this decision.
You're darn right.
Oh, no question.
Every right.
Yeah.
For people to boo him was disgusting.
Well, and think about it. If they do a jersey retirement something and the fans think about it, I think you're going to get a different fan reaction. I think that was just a gut feel.
Quick break.
Glass half full kind of guy. What can I say?
Yeah. All right. So someone's listening from Washington State.
Yeah, that's
someone's
right.
listening from North
someone's
Carolina.
Someone's watching from Washington. Watching. On Facebook.
All right, quick little break. Inside Sports Medicine, Full House. T.O. Soriel here, coming right back.